Hello, everyone, and welcome to Monster Hour. I'm Quinn, your GM. With me today are Tio.
Hello, I am Tio, and I play Claire Claremont, the Forgotten Vessel.
Kyle.
I'm Kyle. I play Duncan Oliver, the Zeitgeist. Whoa, nailed it.
Woo!
And Hannah.
Hannah, Max, Paradox, let's fucking go!
Boom. Before we jump in, last episode was a big one, so yeah. Let's do a little recap. Duncan's.
Yes.
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 Yep.
Thank you. You returned to investigate the screaming foglet at the abandoned gas station at the edge of town. You discerned that the tiny terror was inert and largely unresponsive to your presence. As you went to leave, however, your Nintendo DS that the economy gave you awakened with an enigmatic query. Your prince is in another castle. Would you like to play again? Claire, in the library's deep stacks, you were able to piece together some rather unsettling accounts of your original team-up with Rudy. You discovered that not only was Mina there with you when you disappeared, but also that she was the adopted daughter of the much-redacted former mayor. A peek into the bureaucracy's dimensional orrery also revealed just how few cycles have made it to your current point in linear time. Max, you were able to remove the temporal boot from the bus with the assistance of grizzled and maybe kind of hot Road Warrior Deacon.
Do you want me to make a comment? Because yes, Max is extremely into Road Warrior Deacon. And if we have not established it at this point, like, I think it's pretty well established that Max is walking around with little hard eyes. Continue.
Thank you. You dropped into the familiar expanse of space-time only to find it bereft of its usual motes and filaments. As you set to disembark, the looming snarl of divergent busways contorted its countenance into an unsettling simulacrum of your own face. So, after all of that, it seems like the three of you each have some unfinished business at City Hall. Is that where we find you today, or are you up to something else? As a quick reminder, Claire, you were having another public sploot conversation with Mina, and she summoned you to her office. Duncan's Stafford was going back to try to find more about the bottle, which contained the screaming fog in Somewhere Elementary. And Max, yours is a little more tenuous, but I think perhaps you were interested in looking into McMeow.
Yes, Mayor McMeow. A quest I was given in approximately episode 4, maybe? That just got fucking dropped.
That happens all the time in video games.
Yeah.
You go back and like scroll through your quest log, be like, what the heck was this find the King Stoat quest about?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
King Stoat is going to be a central character in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, my notes.
So do we find you all at City Hall?
You find all of me at City
Hall. Okay. All of the Duncans.
Yep. We're walking like Wizard of Oz walking down the yellow brick road. We're in the middle of the road, skipping.
Oh my God. I love it.
Because. I don't remember. What do we remember?
We're looking for the glass vial.
Oh, yes. Because of the wonderful things he does for us, Stafford, our friend.
Wonderful. Then we open outside of City Hall, the Duncans, Oliver, Stafford, Claire, and Max. Am I missing anyone who needs to be there?
I don't think so. There's too many characters now.
We leave Grippy
at the... Can you, like,
the...
kill a couple of them?
Well, you keep succeeding, unfortunately.
Yeah. Keep keeping them all
alive. Wait, where's Grippy?
That's right. Yeah, with too many characters. That's the person who fabricates new best friends.
No. Grippy is not a character. Grippy is the star of their own show.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yes. Grippy is with me. Grippy, I'm riding Grippy.
Grippy is our Fraser Crane.
I'm just there.
Okay. Claire rolls up, hopping atop Grippy's back. And you stand at the not-so-pearly gates of City Hall.
What brings you two here to City Hall?
I'm looking for a cat.
Oh, I mean, I saw one on the way here, actually. There's one that kind of, like, hangs out by the back door of the station all the time. We put out milk, but they kind of minded themselves.
This is a specific cat. This isn't like, oh, I'm, like, looking for a cat because I'm a little... I mean, I won't say no to a cat, but I'm looking for the cat.
I call him Seabiscuit.
You call the cat Seabiscuit?
Yeah.
Because like sea bass?
Oh.
Seabiscuit?
Well,
yeah.
No, he just makes biscuits and is...
Oh, okay.
Has eyes like the ocean.
I like that.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't think it's that one.
Pretty unique name. No famous animal ever has had the name Seabiscuit.
Not in this world.
A passing by Duncan raises his hand like, well, actually, where I'm from, there's a very famous horse named Seabiscuit.
Yeah, Deacon shoots him with a net gun. What's a horse?
Yeah, have we established that horses exist at all?
I've never seen one. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
So
I don't understand what you mean. What is this horse?
Oh, Stafford, thanks for meeting me outside.
No problem.
Any progress on the secret information?
We're going to have to dive into the archives itself.
Me without my fins.
I know. I have a spare pair, though. It's okay.
How many spare pairs?
Just the one.
That's okay. I'm not going to go. I'm not much of a swimmer.
I'm still getting used to this hive mind you've got going on here, Duncan.
Yeah, so are we all. It's an intellectual challenge.
No, nothing more from you. I don't like your whole vibe.
Gorsh.
That's very rude. That's extremely.
I want to know what Stafford from Yunkin's universe is.
He is a clown, but he's got like a really old-timey camera, the kind where the operator like hides under a blanket. Yeah.
Oh, God. He's got some like no face energy.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. He's terrifying, honestly.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Never mind. I didn't want to know.
As you all are having this conversation, the street in front of City Hall buckles and a small pine tree starts inching its way up from it.
Far out.
And then there's a slight flicker and a swath of the street disappears completely. And instead, there's a patch of grass and a 100-foot tall pine tree.
Far out.
Whoa.
Walker, come on out.
There is no response.
Okay, I think Claire goes, do not touch it until we talk to Mina.
I will say at this point, there are pine trees appearing all over town.
Oh, boy.
There's probably like 2 dozen now.
You say that and Duncan stops like 2 inches from hugging this new What? Oh, really?
No touching.
Are there birds in the trees?
Did this tree come fully populated with an ecosystem or?
Yeah.
Would that change our feelings on it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, a little robin flutters down and buzzes past you.
I've just been born. Hooray.
And it talks.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God, I hate it even more. I'm a new best friend.
No.
My name.
We can't add more best friends.
My name's Elizabeth. I'm a robin.
We're at our limit for anthropomorphized creatures and objects.
Oh, don't get it twisted. I don't have any human-like traits. I'm just a robin. I like dude and bird things.
Just because you don't speak robin doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
That's right, Elizabeth, too.
Oh, God. Okay. All right, so there's 2 birds. They're both named Elizabeth, and they talk. So anyway, if that affects your opinion on the tree appearing, Max, then yes, there are 2 talking robins.
Yes, it does. I like the trees now. I think they're... Okay. I know they're a harbinger of something bad, but, like, who doesn't like trees? Who doesn't like green spaces? Like,
Claire.
Yeah, probably. Stafford.
Yeah, you see Stafford, his camera lens zooms in.
It's just not good for Claire's brand to be too out. Like, she has a very limited woodsy vibe, because she's still kind of more, like, glam meets clean girl aesthetic, you know?
Mm-hmm. Of course. Stafford looks to the Duncans and says,
oh, another one. I gotta go report this. Duncan, are you coming or are you gonna stay out here and hang out with the robin?
You really have to still report? I thought you were on leave.
I ended my leave early so that I could proceed with the internal investigation.
Oh, Stafford, I'm sorry. You didn't have to do that for me.
I'm doing it for all of us.
Oh, okay. We get this all figured out and this is all over. Promise me you'll take a vacation.
I will go to Jackie's Kraken Cabana and have a Mai Tai.
Mai Tai. Okay. Yeah.
Not a Mai Time. Don't worry.
That thing's got a kick to it, you know?
That thing is just straight LSD.
In the meantime, it's easier to cut into the belly of the beast when you're in the inside.
Right. Right.
Sure.
All right. I'm going in.
I'm coming too.
Fins, Deacon.
Oh, that's right. That's on you then. Have fun swimming. I'm going to keep an eye on this tree.
So Duncan Oliver is going in?
Duncan Oliver Prime, friend to Stafford, is going in with Stafford.
Okay.
Duncan has forgotten the instruction and is laying against the tree.
Give me a roll. No, I'm just kidding.
Shit.
No, it's fine.
Roll it back. I said nothing.
Elizabeth the Robin lands on Duncan's shoulder and is asking about how his day is going and if he has any food.
He does.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, he's got trail mix.
Claire and Max.
Claire is not going to engage with the trees. Claire's on a mission to confront Mina / how did you not tell us this important thing that then led to Rudy just blipping out of time with you and us? And yeah, I think she's one track mind. She does not even get off of Grippy to inspect. She's just riding on.
You riding Grippy into City Hall?
Absolutely.
She rode him out of City Hall, she'll ride him back into City Hall.
This is a little bit like a Yoshi situation. That's how I'm imagining it.
Okay.
That's very much the vibe I've been getting.
Yes.
When you get off, does Grippy just kind of run back and forth?
Yeah, pretty much.
Next to you.
I think Grippy is very excited. I mean, you tell me, I don't control Grippy. Grippy is their own being / is an NPC. But I feel like Grippy might be doing a little bit of like a victory lap, you know, going back into City Hall, being like, I am my own stapler. I have my own will.
This is like Grippy going to his like 10-year high school reunion.
Yes.
Oh my God.
You know, they're with their like partner / new best friend. And they're like, look at how good I'm doing.
Yep. Uh-huh.
I'm living my best life. Like everything's coming up, Grippy. It's a little bit of preening almost.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not good. In an ostentatious way because it's Grippy, but you know, just a little bit of showing off.
I would say that Grippy and I, in preparation for coming here, we just like quickly painted Grippy's staples magenta. So it's just like a nice little like, haha.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Max, are you going in? And if so, where are you headed? What's your strategy?
Yes, I'm going in. I'm not going to spend... I appreciate the trees. I'm not going to touch the trees. I mean, I'm assuming City Hall is like one of those big spaces where like you go in and then you have to figure out where you go. So, you know, I'm going in with them.
Okay.
But we each got to find it. We got to find our own paths, right?
Sure.
You know?
You all step into City Hall and find yourself in the expansive lobby, the crisscrossing, unmoving lines in the exact same space and configuration as they have been throughout your tenure in somewhere. Each one filled with people of all walks of life, studded occasionally by skeletons, remarkably preserved, all leading into the numerous departments of City Hall.
I look up and see, is there a department for cats?
No, there is not.
Is there a department for mayors?
The departments before you are code compliance, parking enforcement, public utilities, finance, and judgment. There are also entrances to council chambers and the customer service bureau. You also know that the pneumatic tube system can take you down to the Department of Licensing and the Department of Unlicensing, as well as the abandoned parking garage, although you probably don't want to go there.
If it's a mayor, my thinking is that we got to go to council chambers. At least for me.
I mean, I'm going to go to council chambers anyway for Mina.
Do council members have their own office?
Claire, I think you would know that you would find Mina's office through the council chamber room.
Great. I'm surprised that they even have offices. It's not like this is a real democracy or anything, but anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who are they meeting?
Yeah, they just decide things up in the sky is kind of how I understood that to happen. Yeah, I guess, are we both just going to walk into council chambers then?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. Duncan Stafford motions for you to head towards parking enforcement.
I know the way.
All right, let's follow Max and Claire. The two of you head through the large archway over which has the enormous sign which reads Council Chambers. This is one of the few doors along with customer service that doesn't have a line going into it. The chamber is bereft of any people. There are two code compliance officers stationed in front of the dais, behind which there is a door which, in much smaller writing, reads Council Offices.
I push through. I don't knock. I specifically don't knock.
As you move forward, the code compliance officers take a step towards you and then pause for a moment, look at one another, and then look back at you, and then part.
They look down at their most wanted list. They go...
They look down at the most wanted list. It's the three of you, and all of your names have been crossed off, and they're like,
Well, I don't know. Fuck. I literally do the neener, neener, neener and stick my tongue out.
It's like those laminated cards that have menu items that have certain things whiteouted on top.
Yeah, exactly.
3*.
And you pass through the door into the council offices. It is a long, unadorned hallway through which on either side are doors. The doors are open. Each one has an ornate but extremely conservative and staid decor, all of which is covered in a thick film of dust, except for the one in the very back, in which you can see Mina seated at a desk.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Come in, Claire. Oh, Max. What a unexpected surprise. Welcome.
Hi, Mina. Yeah, hi. Thank you. Love what you've done with the place. Does she have, like, any fun desk toys?
Yeah, what's the sitch here?
Does she have a candy bowl?
She have one of those, like, click, 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 click executive toys?
Mina has a plant.
What kind of plant?
A non-carnivorous plant.
Continue. What kind of plant?
It is a snake plant.
Perfect. Great choice. Excellent. Yes. Love it. Probably would have gone with that too.
And I know I said it was not carnivorous, but as you sit down, you do see it move in a way that is not arboreal.
It hisses. Yeah.
It rustles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please take a seat. Would you like coffee? Tea?
Claire, do you want? I'm not. It's
No. It's fine. I'm good for now.
Lemon water?
Do you have cucumber water?
You know I don't have it.
Tap? Then no. How are you? How's life? It seems lonely.
I am very busy, Claire.
Yes. So are we, mind you.
Yes, I know. Saving the world, yada, yada, yada. Thank you for your service. Some of us still have to make sure that the lights stay on and the Technicolor still runs.
I do appreciate that most city services are still running. Thank you for that.
We're doing our best in difficult times.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, how about that, Rudy? No point in beating around the bush here. What information did he provide you right before, I don't know, we both blipped out of our time? Because I feel like that might be important at this point.
It would be important if I had any information to provide you, but unfortunately, I don't. I don't remember anything about where I went, whether it was with Rudy or not. I simply woke up, like you, over a century later.
You don't remember what you said before you were pulled from time?
Back when you were terrorizing the town?
Yeah. Old news.
Of course I remember what I said.
What did you say?
I said that you didn't have to do this, and there was still time to change. And then you said, time isn't real.
Here, I'll show you.
Yes.
Max,
what can I help you with?
Claire's just sitting there kind of thinking through things.
Yeah, that kind of state where, like, I've got stuff to think about, so I'm not going to pay attention to you anymore until I think of my thoughts.
Cat, yes?
I'm looking for a cat. A cat.
May I suggest the animal shelter division of the Unzu?
Like a specific cat that is the mayor. Mayor McNeil.
Mina purses her lips tightly to the point where they're almost a line on her face.
Yep. This expression that you're making tells me that you know something about where Mayor McNeil is. I deduce that. I deduce things now.
Bully for you. Where did you hear that name?
So I actually got to meet the esteemed Mayor McNeil. Very special meeting. And then he disappeared and he left a note saying to find him at the beginning?
Well, lucky for you, that's simply not possible. You couldn't have met McMeow.
And why not?
Because he's gone.
How long has he been gone?
Long enough.
That is less than useful. That tells me less than nothing. Anyway, I met the mayor, like, not here, but, like, outside of here, but, like, not here. But, like, there was a cat, and it had a little collar, and the collar said Mayor McMeow, and then it disappeared. So, obviously, I have seen, you say the cat has disappeared, but that's not factually accurate, because I met the cat. The cat has reappeared. Where did the cat go originally? When did the cat go originally? Where does the cat live? Do you have treats for Mayor McMeow? Do you have, like, a little treat bowl that you, like, leave out, and kind of, like, a one of those, the ever-burning flame, like,
like a lighthouse calling wayward ships back to shore.
No, I was thinking of like a flame at like JFK's grave. But it's cat treats for mayor meow. Oh no. Anyway, do you have an eternal cat treat dispenser for Mayor McMeow?
No. Mayor McMeow's tenure ended while I was gone with Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Or near, adjacent to Claire, caught in the Claire vortex, however you want to call it.
And how do you know that if you were caught in the Claire vortex? You weren't here. Did you read it somewhere? Did you get like a postcard?
As auditor, I was able to look into things that few people in or out of City Hall have access to.
Are you related to Mayor McMeow?
Are you a cat? You have to tell us if you're a cat.
You do.
Otherwise, it's in Catman.
Because your dad was mayor, and is this like a familial thing?
Mayor McMeow was my adopted father.
What? What?
Honestly, I was saying it to be mean, but okay.
Yes.
You know, I really wish I'd gotten some of that lemon water because then I could do like a spit take. So you're just going to have to imagine it. He's your adoptive father. Oh, so that's why you're all cranky about this, because he was your dad. And then you and Claire went off and did your like, I don't know, study abroad program. And then you came back and he was gone. Oh, that is sad. I'm sorry.
Hold on.
I feel bad now.
Point of order. So many questions here. This piecemeal information giving you're doing. Love it for you. That's what I would do. But God, is it excruciating on the other side of things. Adopted how? Was he always a cat? Or was there some weird shenanigan involved?
Of course he was always a cat.
I think Claire like taps Mina's head to check for ears. Is like very confused.
Claire, adopted. I'm not a cat.
But can a cat adopt a human? This would open up a lot of options.
Of course. Why not? Mr. McMeow was a kind, clever, and scholarly feline.
And he was real cute, too. He was real cute when I met him. He was very cute. I mean, like, yeah, I know. Like, most cats are pretty cute. But he was a very pretty cat. So, yeah.
Yes.
So then who are your biological parents?
That seems rude.
Yeah, Claire doesn't have a sensitivity around any of this.
Yes, great. Thank you so much for the question, Claire. I do not know. They died when I was very young.
You know this means we could be sisters. Eh?
She holds up a finger and then bends over and you hear a retching sound underneath the desk. Yeah, it's what it's like.
There were only so many people in town when we were born. The odds are actually quite high.
Oh, it's coming up again. It's coming up again.
Claire, how does that make you feel?
I think it's delightful. It means that she has to tell me things and she can't testify against me, right? That's how that works. It's a family thing.
I assure you that is not how that works.
That's definitely not how that works. Yeah, that's like actually the opposite of how that works. In somewhere, your family members are obligated to testify against you.
Oh. Yeah.
So, Claire, I'm sorry, but if you are related, you're boned.
Well, that's okay. Mina would volunteer to testify against me anyway.
I absolutely would. I won't call it a question to your accusation, perhaps. You'll excuse me if I don't particularly like talking about it or particularly like talking about it with you. And frankly, you're not supposed to know about any of this. So forgive my taciturnness.
Claire gets off of Grippy and like gives Grippy like a little pat on the head, like good boy, and essentially tells Grippy to go wait outside.
It looks like you need some privacy. I can help with that.
Exactly. Goodbye. Good boy. You see like a slight change in Claire's face and her eyes darken a little bit. And she goes, my minor, potentially familial ribbing aside, I think we still need to be operating under the assumption that there is a very good reason why we all have the histories that we do. I don't think that anything at this point is a coincidence. Max, you meeting the mayor? Mina, your relationship with the mayor? Why would Rudy pick me and take you? So, with all due respect for what we're supposed to know, This is kind of the end game scenario, and any strange, weird coincidence should be treated as a potential thread to unthread. I never did the whole embroidery thing. I was murdering people in a well.
We tried to get you to join the knitting circle so many times.
Yeah.
Claire, give me a sway roll.
Hey, mm-hmm. Do
Max,
I?
Max, if you'd like to help, you are welcome to.
Yeah, okay, I'll help you out.
So you mark one essence, and Claire rolls 3d6 and discards the lowest.
Okay.
I look at you meaningfully. I look at Mina meaningfully. I look at you. I look at Mina. I look at Tio. I look at Mina.
I appreciate it. And boy, howdy, am I really glad that you did, because I had a 1 and a 2 in that roll. So all in total, that's a 7.
Whoa.
Okay.
Wowzers.
Yeah, that definitely helped. On a 7 to 9, they will do it, but I will choose an option from the list below. They want more than what you're offering. They demand payment up front. They have a better idea for achieving your goal, or they stall and dither for a while. Claire, as you make this pitch, you feel the pressure, the intense sensation of being perceived that comes with Mina's audit. And it is like the good old days before she joined the council. The scrutiny is intense. Is there anything that you haven't told Mina?
I mean, there's definitely things I haven't told her. Anything of importance. This is going to be a check on our memory. Have I told Mina about the deal that Rudy supposedly gave me about, like, keeping me and my people safe?
No. And I think that is the mixed success, because that is what, as you feel her mental presence audit your mind, you feel that memory dredged up of the room with the two chairs and the fireplace and the snow on the windowsill and the presence, unseen but undeniable, of Rudy next to you.
Yep.
All right, Claire. Here's the deal. I'll tell you what I know, and you tell me what you've been doing talking to Rudy. Making side deals does not make for good bedfellows.
I agree. No need to beat a burning bush. If you've already looked at the memory, then you should know that I was very clear with Rudy that I haven't made up my mind, and I'm going to do what's best for me and the people that I would rather live with than without. So no deal has been made. But yeah, supposedly there's one on offer. Do I trust Rudy? To be honest, I know. And then I think Claire looks at Max, because the earlier conversation where Max and Duncan were pretty skeptical of this backup plan. You ask Max, you ask Duncan, they'll have a different opinion about how reliable that plan is. But you and I, we know Rudy a little differently. I think the offer's real, but that doesn't mean that I'm interested in taking it. What is the purpose of being around, even with the people you want to be around with, if there's no one to sell products to? If there's no products to be had.
Mina casts a meaningful glance towards Max and says, well, let's hope that you maintain your outlook. Very well, Claire. I am Mr. McMeow's adopted daughter. I lived with him up until the moment that we disappeared from time. When I returned, I discovered that he was gone. There was no longer a mayor. There was a council. Praise be.
Silence.
As I worked my way up the ranks of the bureaucracy, I did a little bit of digging on the side, and I discovered that Mayor McMeow was ousted from his position.
A coup.
Apparently, the council, praise be, was concerned with his approach to handling the Rudy problem. He had staked too much hope on a time traveler.
Oh.
So they banished him.
I think that's you.
I beg your pardon. She didn't say it was me. She just said that it was a time traveler. Any details about the banishment? Did they put him in the screaming fog? That's animal abuse.
It is unclear. That was a chaotic period. But when the governance war was over, the council was supreme. Praise be.
So does that mean... Me and I don't wish to impose upon you in a very difficult time. This must be very, very difficult to talk about.
It's all a difficult time, Max.
If I get... I'm not sure how this is going to work, and I don't necessarily want to, like, ask you for something and not be able to produce it, because I don't really want to counsel anything. And Mina, you're a little scary, so... I mean, I think that's your whole vibe, right? You want to be a little scary? It's fine. I appreciate it. I also enjoy being a little intimidating. A lot intimidating. That's why I carry a giant sword. It's giant. It's enormous. This thing is so fucking impractical. But I'm like, ooh, look at me. I'm a tiny person with a giant sword. I'm going to fuck your shit up. Anyway, sorry. Tangent. If I pick up the trail of your adoptive father, Mayor Mr. McMeow the Third, Esquire.
Nope. None of that. Just Mr. McMeow or Mayor McMeow.
Sir Mayor McMeow.
Fine.
Regent.
Again, definitely not, but
Duke.
Let's anyway, proceed.
Right. If I pick up the trail of him and there's any way that you can assist me, can I count on you or perhaps the council, praise be, to assist in that? Because, Mina, I saw him on the bus. I saw him on the bus. He was on the bus. Getting the midnight bus going anywhere. He's on the bus.
As Mina started to tell you what she knew, mm-hmm. you've heard a growing chorus of very angry voices. And hearing what you just said, Max, they have grown louder. And this room is filled with a din, which you realize you have heard once before. It is the voices of the council. Praise be.
Oh, and it's fucked up. When you hear them, it's some fucked up shit.
Yeah, and they're mad.
We need to go. We need to go. Claire, I think we need to go.
Hypocrites!
Mina is kind of like staring into the middle distance.
We should go. Mina, I'm going to take that as a yes, and we're going to boogie. So great chat. Thanks for...
The voices stop abruptly, and she stares you dead in the eye and says, yes. And then the voices resume.
All right, Claire, I think we got what we came for.
Max, as you're like trying to pull Claire along, I think Claire is standing stoically.
Uh-huh.
And tells you, like, go ahead. I'll be right there.
Okay. Quinn, I'm going to back out of Mina's room slowly.
Yep.
Quickly, medium. Not a hurried pace. Not a, like, I need to leave.
Those are your three options.
Right. Yeah. Middle. Middle, like, I'm leaving because I want to, not because I'm hearing the voices calling for torture, death, something beyond death to happen to me and how unhappy they are with me. And, like, it feels kind of like getting yelled at by my dad. If my dad were, like, an interdimensional being, like, that's the vibe sometimes. So I'm gonna back out, like, medium speed, because I'm not running away from them. Mm-hmm. I'm just leaving. Yeah. Bye, Mina. Bye, 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 bye.
Okay. You leave at a medium speed, and Claire, mm-hmm. you remain in Mina's office.
I'm gonna stand there another minute, and I'm going to use my unfathomable. What I would like to do is I would like to address the council and get their attention, their ire at me, which should be very easy, and just in a very monotone voice with, like, my eyes completely blackened over as if I have been taken over by Rudy. How fun it is to watch you run and prance and try your best, and yet you don't see what's right in front of you. Go on. Keep playing your little bureaucratic games. And then I think Claire snaps her fingers and then pretends to, like, come back and then just looks around confused and slowly backs out of the room.
I know you're acting deceptively, but it sounds like you're trying to get under the council's skin, and so that would probably be a goad if you want it to be a mechanic. Otherwise, it can just be, you know, something you say and we can follow it narratively. But if you want to roll dice, it's probably a goad.
All right, I'll try it out.
What's your rating with bureaucracy?
Zero.
Zero?
Yes, I started out in the negative with bureaucracy.
I thought you got more negative.
No.
No, Claire's actually wound up helping the bureaucracy a couple arcs in a row.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. All right.
But I believe, Claire, you do have a move that lets you roll plus chaos, though, right? For goad?
For goad?
Pariah.
Oh, you're right. I was so focused on my unfathom. You're right. I do. Yep. I can do that.
Okay. Yeah. So give me a goad roll.
Whew, real glad that's the case, because that's going to be a 10.
On a 10 plus, you get to choose two options. They react irrationally, they commit significant resources, they overlook your allies, or they overplay their hand.
Ooh, they overplay their hand sounds pretty intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. What do you all think for another one? We get two.
I don't know. I think it's kind of funny if the council acts irrationally and overplays their hand, but that could also be pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Goat is inherently dangerous.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think they should commit significant resources. I think it would be funny to see them commit misfeasance or possibly malfeasance.
Yeah.
As a fan of your character, they overlook your allies might be in line with what you want or what you're trying to do and getting under their skin. Because it kind of sounds like you want them to overlook Mina.
Yeah, I want them to give Mina and Max a break and stop this petty nonsense because there's bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, I think that sounds mechanically close to what...
Yeah. So then what about they overlook your allies and they commit significant resources? Because it would be nice if they committed significant resources to... I mean, they think they are, but maybe there's something they're not even...
So in the context of this move, they commit significant resources would mean they commit significant resources to hunting you down.
Oh, not Rudy specifically. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Because on a hit, they make a move against you.
Got it.
You have annoyed the council, and so the non-Mina members of the council, you've drawn their ire.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say they overlook your allies, and they overplay their hand.
Okay. Claire, you say this, and Mina's eyes lock on you, and the chorus of council voices grow more wild, more vitriolic. If they were here, visible to you, you would imagine they would be near frothing at the mouth. And as you reach the doorway, you hear Mina say, "Enough." And they all go silent.
Ooh.
You should leave.
No problem, sis. And I walk out.
Hey folks, Quinn here. Thanks so much for tuning in to episode 43 of Monster Hour Absurdia. Are Claire and Mina sisters? Did Max inadvertently cause Mayor McMahon's ouster? Can the Duncans escape the clutches of City Hall's Giga Clerk? Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z! I'm kidding, of course. Our vibe is much more of a CW show than Dragon Ball Z. Hey, speaking of long-running syndicated programming, did you know that the key to success is getting the word out to your target audience? Now, some shows do this with extensive market research and advertising and all of that, but not us. We are scrappy. We are independent. We don't have that kind of budget. No, instead, we count on you all to share your enthusiasm of Monster Hour with the world. That's right. It's our fortnightly request to help spread the word about the show by leaving us a rating or review, giving us a shout on social media, or recommending the show to a friend. It's good for you, it's good for us, it's good for your friends, it's good for America. A special shout out this week to the newest member of WSOM's Eternal Pledge Drive, Dixon. A huge thank you to all of our patrons for helping to make the show not just possible, but also more accessible through our transcription program. We now have transcripts posted for the first two arcs of Season 1 available both on our website and in the show notes. As always, if you want to help support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/monsterhour or follow the link in the show notes. That's all we have for you this week, dear listeners. Tune in March 19th for the next broadcast of WSOM, Radio Somewhere.
Duncan.
Yes.
And it is just Duncan this time.
Praise be.
Praise Duncan. Praise Oliver.
Duncan. Oh, no. Praise thee. No. Praise thee. No, praise thee.
No, praise thee. Duncan, you and Stafford head into parking enforcement, which you, I believe, have been to once or twice before. Mm-hmm. It is a mostly empty, very monotonous bullpen of desks. You see a handful of what largely appear to be code compliance officers, mm-hmm. but just kind of slightly schlubbier at a handful of the desks, but most of them are empty. The room itself is a little bit dingier than other parts of City Hall, a little bit duller, a little bit dimmer, a little bit darker. Stafford leads you back to his office, and you can see him reach into his desk and pull out a inter-office memo and start writing on it.
I think Duncan is fiddling with the Nintendo DS while waiting for Stafford to fill out his memo.
The DS doesn't respond to anything, like pressing buttons or anything doesn't change anything. After that message displayed for, you know, maybe an hour, mm-hmm. it changed to a loading screen.
With a bar or like an indeterminate spinner?
With a bar, it says 98% loaded.
Oh, shit. Did it start there?
Yes.
Oh, well, we know how these loading bars go. They get up to 98 and then they sit there for hours and hours and hours. It's almost done. Ugh, not really.
So yeah, you continue to fiddle with it, but it doesn't change. It doesn't respond. Hmm. It won't turn off.
No batteries in this thing?
You took the batteries out. You put them back in. Nothing changed.
I listen really. I put it up to my ear. Is it humming? Is it whispering?
There is a sound a little bit like a whisper, but closer to a breeze.
Hmm. This is a weird game. Loading screens on this thing are out of this world.
Duncan.
Yeah.
I know everybody likes a good distraction, but is now really the best time for a children's game?
Did you see what this said? It said, your prince is in another castle. Would you like to play again? Is that right after we saw that little isolated pocket of screaming fog? I don't know, Stafford. It seems related.
Do you think that it's a message?
I mean, it was.
Is the fog talking to you, Duncan?
Something is.
I know you've always had a connection to it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it trying to communicate with you? Is it trying to communicate with us? What does it mean, Duncan? What does it mean?
It means we've maybe been looking in the wrong place.
Where should we be looking?
A castle? No, that's too silly. But maybe there's something greater behind the fog. What do we know about that lighthouse? It's beyond the fog. We can see it from the beach almost every day, but I don't know anybody who's been there, obviously. But it's, Stafford, it's on. If it works like any lighthouse I've read about, someone's got to be taking care of that thing.
A beacon in the dark.
Yes, a light through the fog. Sorry, you're always you're better at the analogies.
Okay. No, that one was good. I liked it, Duncan. You've always had a way with words.
Clear and concise. That's my radio motto.
I have to admit, I've kept my gaze focused on the dark and gritty corners of this city, but maybe I should have been looking out instead of in. I will confess I know little about the lighthouse, Duncan. There are no cars there as far as I'm aware, but maybe they'll know.
And he stands up from the desk, the interoffice memo rolled tightly in his hand, walks up to the wall, and enters it into a pneumatic tube. And as it disappears, you can see the address line, which says, Department of Licensing, the recorder.
My old friend.
And as he places the missive into the tube, his hand, followed by the arm of his suit, is sucked in following it. And he reaches out a hand towards you.
I grab his other hand.
And very quickly, the two of you are sucked into the tube.
Boom.
After several minutes of suctioning and ping-ponging through City Hall's... Through City Hall's pneumatic tube system, you are jettisoned out from the ceiling into the center of the Department of Licensing, and you tumble out with little ceremony at the feet of the recorder, the tangled mess of pneumatic tubes feeding into his frumpy business casual attire.
Y'all really need to get like an elevator or something. Ugh.
Parking Enforcement Officer Stafford, Community Radio host Duncan Oliver.
Hey, Rick.
Stafford stands up, dusts himself off, and presents the paperwork to the recorder, who holds out a hand, and one of the tubes snakes out from the cuff of his suit and suctions it up. He pauses for a moment and then nods affirmatively. Query received. All documents pertaining to Pandora's jar. Accessing. Please hold. And the mass of pneumatic tubes begin a flurry of activity, the contents shifting directions and transporting files rapidly.
So, Stafford, you catch the game the other week?
Against the Nowhere No Ones?
Yeah.
Wasn't much of a game since none of them showed up. Or did they?
That's fair, but my good new friend Donkin sure had a lot of numbers and thoughts about it, so.
That's the one that works at City Hall, right? The suit.
Trying to figure out what he meant by BABIP. BABIP.
Batters at bat in transit?
P.
Because there's the busware bus batters.
It's the bus bat. The better butter battle book.
There's the betterware bus batters.
Yeah.
We only play them in non-conference games, but I haven't checked the schedule this year.
It's the butter buds. But I think they stopped playing years ago. Went defunct.
Yeah. They were never the same after the Parliament of Owls.
You say vowels?
Well, I said owls, but now that you mentioned it, I think vowels is way funnier, so yes.
The part with vowels.
It's the E, E, O. Trying to do Department of Vowels, but it's only vowels.
E, I,
this is great
I thought
audio.
You were doing Old McDonald's. No.
Just vowels. Just vowels.
This is very quickly going to turn very unlistenable as we just go,
Anyway, yeah, the recorder's done processing your request.
You know, you're really onto some good narrative shit when the gamekeeper says, anyways, this NPC's done.
There's a massive vacuum in the pneumatic tubes that are connected to the recorder as they draw files and files and files in and then expel a ton of them outward back into the Department of Licensing. Mm. And whipping through the labyrinth of filing cabinets is one cabinet in particular that is attached to a pneumatic tube. And like a tape measure that's been overextended, it's like whipping back and forth, fishtailing with this filing cabinet until it comes crashing to a heap at your feet.
I reach out to fist bump the recorder.
A little pneumatic tube pops out and limply touches your fist.
Good work, Rick. We can always count on you.
Query complete.
Yep. Classic catchphrase. All right, Stafford, what are we looking at? Is this alphabetical? I put on my readers. I've had readers this whole time.
We're learning so much. Why don't you give me a roll to assess reality or gather information?
It is kind of gather information from the bureaucracy a little bit.
I think it is, yeah. So why don't you give me a gather information roll?
But I'm not like doing it from scratch. The bureaucracy has given me a bunch of stuff that I asked for.
Yeah, so go ahead and roll with advantage as if you pushed yourself.
Okay, great. We will kick out that 2, and we have 7 on the dice, and my bureaucracy is +1. So that is 8.
On a 7 and 9, you will learn something interesting, but it's up to you to make it useful. What was your move?
Oh, my move is intellectual, which is when I split up my bodies to gather information, I treat the results as a level higher.
I mean, technically, you have split up your bodies.
I did, and it was to gather information because Deacon doesn't like swimming and thought this was going to be a swimming challenge. And,
oh, right. I said you were going to go swimming.
And
oh, well. It was a metaphor.
Yeah, Deacon.
Listeners, it was a metaphor.
Deacon,
okay?
And metaphors don't click too well. Danken is enjoying a new, brand new tree. And Hyunkin, we don't like to talk about what Hyunkin gets up to.
We don't talk about Hyunkin.
His downtime.
I love him, and he's a valued member of the team. And you're just like shitting
all
over.
No, he is a valued member of a team. But it's Hyunkin. Like smash cut to Hyunkin, and he's decided to take the afternoon to go fishing. But he can't quite get. He's at the lake, but he's also tangled up in fishing line, and the hook's like stuck in his hat, and he's dropped all his bait on the ground.
Man, I was going to say smash cut to Hyunkin in the abandoned parking garage using his giant mallet to smash through the walls into the bureaucracy.
That's a way. Honestly, yeah, actually, because I've been having Hyunkin be like a real goofy on the front, but like a mastermind behind the eyes.
Goofy in the front, scary
so
in the
like
back.
I do like that. Yeah, he's scary. So I do like that smash cut. It's very funny. Literal smash cut.
A true literal smash cut. Okay, so treat the results as one level higher. That is your zeitgeist core move.
Yep.
So I will tell you something that is interesting and useful.
Yes.
I do think it would be helpful for you to frame this as a question.
I think the core question that Duncan is interested in is what part of this Pandora's jar made it possible to contain the screaming fog? Like what aspect of its construction, of its materials, of its blessing, of its activation. That's the core of what Duncan has been interested in this whole time. Is so far nothing has been able to, like, no construction or building or anything has been able to even really interface with the screaming fog, let alone seemingly contain it and control it. And for that sort of fantastical object to end up, I mean, that's part two. How the heck did that get in an elementary school?
Duncan, you and Stafford set to work sifting through the stacks and stacks of paperwork, which is organized, but is organized in a system that you are not familiar with, and I don't think Stafford is either. So it takes you some time. The recorder goes back to doing his business, inscrutable as it may be to you, but they don't pay you any mind for any much longer. And after a great deal of searching and piecing together bits and pieces of history, reports, memos, data sets that are just seemingly unorganized, data visualizations with no labels or labels that are attached to an appendix that's in a different section of the file.
The context you're looking for is in a different file.
Yes. What you are able to piece together is that Pandora's Jar, as the operation is labeled, came about by accident. Its property to contain the fog was not developed intentionally. It was actually first discovered when a low-level bureaumancer was set to be banished for failing to uphold the code and entered the fog, but then attempted to escape, fleeing back into town. When they did so, they had this jar on them, and when they emerged from the fog, it contained a piece of it within its confines. The original purpose of the jar, however, was in service to the municipal treasury. It was built to hold time.